And God's doing a mighty work there. We're excited. Also, Northern Ireland sends their greetings. Pastor Camille and Kate want you to know they appreciate your prayers as well. This is for my wife and I. This is our third year in Longford, and we're excited about what the Lord's doing. The church is growing, and God's bringing people in. A couple months ago, we started, a while back, actually, we started to have Wednesday night services. And a couple of months ago, those services were hard. I'll tell you, it was tough getting people in on Wednesday night. They are just used to one and done. Amen. Sunday night or Sunday morning, that's it. Nobody there that I know of goes to church twice a week. So for us to have a Wednesday night service was a big deal, but it was hard getting them in. And just about 2 months ago, I had Pastor Mario down in Arizona do a Wednesday night discipleship. And we had the same crowd out. There wasn't many there. But he preached on a commitment. He preached on making a decision and being committed to the work of the Lord. And since that time, our Wednesday night service has more than doubled. And God is moving and new people are coming in. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Praise God. This Wednesday night, actually, Pastor Dylan is doing a Skype service for us. He'll Skype in, and they'll be there ready to receive, and Pastor Dylan will be doing the service for us by Skype on Wednesday evening. Praise God. I want you to know we just love you. We appreciate you. It's a blessing to come home. It's a blessing to be with family and our kids and our grandkids and see how they're growing and our friends. And we had a great time yesterday. It had a group of people over. It was like a beehive over there. It reminded me of the old days, man, fellowship, and everybody was having fun. Amen. And so I'll tell you what, serving God is fun. Hallelujah. It's good. And I'll tell you, if you'll hang in there and you'll just give God your all, it is a great adventure to serve the Lord. Praise God. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Turn to Romans, chapter 5. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But you know, there are so many young Christians that when you first get saved and you give your life to Jesus, you pray that prayer and you know, you're expecting something tremendous. And surely something tremendous does happen when there's a sincerity in our heart and we give our hearts to the Lord. He comes in. The Bible says that he accepts everyone. Can you say amen? If you come to him in sincerity, say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Change my life. There's any sincerity with as much as you can put forth. The Bible says that he will visit you. He'll come into your life and you're saved. And then many times when people get saved, they have this idea that once they have prayed the prayer and asked Jesus in, that they, you know, everything should be completely different, that things are going to change overnight, that their life is going to be easy now because they prayed that prayer, and there will be no more struggles and there will be no more hard times. And I think it's a carryover from the child days when we used to read books like, Cinderella and things like that, you know. Because salvation is not like that. And so these many times, we've seen five people, the last five people, by the way, that have given their lives to the Lord in Longford have been Irish, which is a miracle. We got Irish people now. Amen. I say that because Ireland's like a hodgepodge. I mean, we've got people from all over the world in just the group that we have. We have Mauritius and Kenya and Brazil and Mexico City. And we just got two new couples from Malawi and all over the world. And we had a couple of Irish people, but the last five have been Irish. And you know what? That means there's a breakthrough. Amen. Hallelujah. And God's visiting. Hallelujah. But they come in, and many times they think, Pastor, and they'll come up, I don't understand what's happening in my life. You know, I've prayed and I've given my life to the Lord. And you know, I've already been saved for 2 weeks. And I just don't understand it. I can't figure out why, you know, these things are still happening. And even after a couple of months, you know, they'll come and they'll be crying and they're really upset and they don't understand why these things are difficult, or sometimes things are even getting harder, it seems to be, to them. They don't see that. They don't understand that salvation doesn't exempt us from life. It doesn't exempt us from experiencing difficulties and hardships. And they'll come and they think that now there should be no more struggles. There should be no more hard times. Nothing bad is going to happen from here on out. Everything's going to be just great. But I know Jesus told the Father, or prayed to the Father in heaven in John 17, 15, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. So we experience all kinds of things. He said that because we will experience attacks. We will experience things that come against us as Christians. We will experience hardships and suffering. We'll go through tribulations and trials, as Paul talks about. All these things are a part of Christian living. It doesn't mean that when you get saved that, you know, the fairy godmother taps you on the top of the head with the magic wand and you turn from a frog into a prince. Amen. Hallelujah. Turning to Christ doesn't promise us an easy life. Life has its ups and downs. It has its highs and lows. It has its joys and its sorrows, its good times and its bad. It's got its successes and its failures. How many understand that tonight? Amen. It's all, this is a part of life. It's life. Life doesn't change. Some things do, thank God. When I got saved, thank God I changed. I'm not the same person I was. Amen. When Pastor Paul talked about, people, you know, being in, if God didn't save us, we'd be in prison. Pastor Jones pointed his finger at me. Amen. He remembers what I used to be like. Hallelujah. You too. Amen. Some of you have been there. That's okay. The Lord can make the difference. He changes our lives. He does not leave us the same. But Jesus did not come to exempt us from experiencing life. What life brings often doesn't change and sometimes seems to even get worse. But what changes is how we experience life. Hallelujah. Our view and how we take life as it comes. I think it's in James chapter 2. Chapter 1, verse 2, James chapter 1, verse 2, says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it'll be given him. But you must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. And so there are things within the Word of God that you and I have to see and understand and believe and trust and get to know Jesus and let Jesus do what he wants to do in our lives. Let him work in us and believe in him and understand that when we turn our hearts to him, he saves us. That's the biggest miracle that could take place in any life. He sets us free from a devil's hell. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He changed me. He changed me. All I used to do was go out and look for drugs. That was my life. Here in Colorado Springs, I got out of the Air Force, let my hair grow out, let my beard grow down to my chest, which is real popular now. I'd be right in style. Went down to Acacia Park, and this young man named Randy Fay came up to me. I had a big wooden cross that I used to wear as a hippie. I didn't know Jesus, but it was real popular to wear a wooden cross. I bought it in Manitou. That was even cooler. I had a big white dog named Blue. You know, that was a really good hippie. You had a big white dog named Blue. Amen. I go down to that park, and he came up to me, and he says, I see you're wearing a cross. I said, yeah. He says, yeah, man. I'm wearing a cross. He says, do you know what that cross stands for? I said, yeah, peace. He said, yeah, it does stand for peace. He says, but I don't think you know what kind of peace it really stands for. He started to preach the gospel for me. Now, I went down to the park and I was looking for something, but it wasn't Jesus. I was looking for drugs, but he preached. He stayed right with me. And I even told him, you know, I'm not a confronter, but I told him, he says, you know what? You better get out of my face or I'm going to shove my fist down your throat. And I don't like to confront, but he was making me mad, and he kept, and I'm walking faster through the park. He's staying up with me, and he's saying, he's telling me about how Jesus could set me free and what Jesus did on the cross. And I said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to, and he gave me a track, and I took it to get rid of him, and he left. And you know what? About 3 weeks later, I happened to go into a church. I had no idea that that's the church he went to. I'm Boulder and Weber. And there he was. And he came up, you know, this big grin. I had no idea. I said, oh, Lord. Oh, my. And I gave my heart to the Lord. And I was really surprised that as months went by, I struggled. And some of you may have experienced this as well. And I struggled there were mind battles and habits and things. I got saved. I really needed Jesus. I wanted him to come. I asked him, Lord, please come into my heart. Forgive me. Change my life. Set me free. God, do a work in me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. And he came into my heart. And I knew something had taken place in my life. But months later, I was still going through hard times, difficult times, and I didn't understand it, and I was afraid to talk to, I was ashamed to talk to anyone about it. It was difficulties and hard things that were happening and habits that were still lingering on and hanging on to my life. But when you get saved, what changes is your view. And I'll tell you, it took time. It took time. And if you're a young Christian tonight, I want you to know that when you prayed and you asked Jesus into your heart, you repented of your sin and you asked him to come in and be your Lord and Savior. It doesn't mean that everything just changes overnight. Now, I've seen miracle changes, and I've seen some change fast and some change slow, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of difference in people and a lot of difference in their walks with God, but the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ comes into a life. He changes that heart. The Holy Spirit comes to live in you, and the Spirit of God begins to work in you, and he begins to bring you from faith to faith and glory to glory, and he's working you in you and knows more about you than you know about yourself. I used to ask questions, Lord, why? And, you know, many times the devil would come and say, you're not saved. If you were saved, you wouldn't be thinking this way. If you were saved, you wouldn't be doing this anymore. If you were saved, these things wouldn't be happening anymore. And all these questions would come, and all these questions were difficult for me, and I didn't understand, and I was ashamed to talk to someone. I'll tell you what, in Christ, you are a new creature. The old things pass away, and all things become new. But the Holy Ghost is the one that does the changing in your life. The power of God, the Spirit of God is the one that changes us. He sets us free. He brings us from that place. He knows how to get us from where we're at to where we need to be. Hallelujah. You know, without God, it's like grasping at straws. When you don't have the Lord in your life, and you're going through things and difficulties and struggles, it's just like grasping at straws. It's the luck of the draw. You know, if things might get better and things might not get better. And if they do get better, it's only temporary. But when you have Jesus in your life, You can go through life with confidence. You can go through life with peace and with joy and trusting the Lord, having him in your heart and having him in your... There is nothing like knowing the Lord. He will come in. It doesn't depend upon you. It depends upon the Word of God. And the Word of God says that when you repent and you ask him to forgive you, that he comes to live in you and begins that work, that change. And if you stay with him, he is the author and the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing's too hard for him. In Psalm 37, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. 'Tis the God that we serve. We asked him to come into our heart. You and I are connected to Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. The earth was created and formed by our God. By our God. He flung the planets out into space. Can you say amen? You've turned your life over to the one who created everything. Life is all about Jesus. True life, abundant life. The only life that truly you can experience is about Christ, is coming to Jesus, is coming to our God, the one that created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. When you know Jesus, you can't help but see life with hope and possibility. Hallelujah. I hung on, and I thank God for the fellowship I had. I thank God, and many of them are here. Mitch and Sue Grice used to go over their house and cause them all kinds of grief. My goodness, had a million questions. They may remember. I'm sure they probably do. Go over there, and they'd share with me and help me and pray for me. And they were the first ones. You know, I used to walk by his house, and many times he'd be out on his porch. You know, he was a saved hippie playing his guitar out on the porch. And I used to cross over on the other side so I wouldn't have to talk to him. But then my friends, actually Loretta and her friends, moved into the upstairs flat, the upstairs apartment of their house on Institute. And so I had to go by there. I had to see him. He used to witness to me all the time as well. But I'll tell you what, the fellowship of people, your brothers and sisters, don't point the finger. When people are struggling, I'll tell you what we need to do is believe God for them and pray. Believe the Lord for them. Amen. God will move. Trust God. God will move on your behalf. He'll move speedily. Faith is turning to God and knowing that he is with you. And his word says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. All things. I know sometimes we think, well, I don't know about that. All things. Because I've gone through some pretty deep waters and some pretty deep struggles, and I don't understand, I don't know about all things. But the Word of God is true. Hallelujah. There's no fear in following the Lord. If you get close to Jesus, when you know him, you can live in confidence. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. No matter where we're at or what we're going through or what the circumstances are, we can rest assured that he is with us, that he never takes his eyes off of us for one moment of time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. In your darkest hour, he died for the ungodly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I made a lot of decisions that were harmful to me and hurtful to other people. Decisions that were dictated by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. All sin comes under those categories. Selfish decisions because I was in control. I had it, yeah. I was the God of my life. Many people like that. They're the God of their life. No one's going to tell them what to do. I called the shots and I did it whatever I wanted to do. Any restraint in my life, I'm sure, was God's mercy. But I didn't know about it because I didn't know God. I didn't know God. I got saved, thank God, and he changed my life. How many's been saved tonight? Glory to God. Aren't you glad? Your eyes have been opened. You know, most of the world doesn't know Jesus. Most of the world, think about that. They don't know the Lord. They don't have that relationship. They don't know God. They're living that life just like you and I were before we came to Christ. They're living that life. They have no peace. They have no hope. It's the luck of the draw. They're hoping things might get better someday. And maybe they will. But unless they come to Christ, it's temporary. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 3, it says, lean not unto your own understanding. In all things acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Lean not. Lean not to your own understanding. I heard that, and it set me free. It helped me. I heard the word of God. I came to church and heard God's word. I began to connect with Christians. I began to get with brothers and sisters in the Lord. I began to listen to them and talk about the things of God. And they would begin to share with me some things as I began to open up and began to share some things about my life and things that I was struggling with. And someone shared that scripture in Proverbs. Lean not unto your own understanding. You know, there are a lot of times you don't understand what's going on. You don't see it. You can't figure it out. And that's okay because there's someone greater who knows everything about you and they understand it all and know all about it and have the answer. Hallelujah. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our strong tower tonight. He's our best friend. He's our hope in times of trouble. He's the beginning and the end. He's our salvation and our deliverance. He's our soon coming King. Hallelujah. The Word of God is full of testimonies of men and women that have surrendered their lives to God. This Word. And that experience changed them and changed their lives. But it didn't make their lives easy. You read all about the different testimonies of the people in this book from front to back, cover to cover. Their lives were changed, but it didn't make their lives easy. It gave them a hope and it gave them a joy deep inside, and they got stronger as they walked with their God. How do you think? I thought I was looking in the Word at the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, and how did he make it through all the crisis and all the tragedies in his life. You can find that story in Genesis 37 through 44. All of his brothers hated him. He was a man of God. They sold him into slavery to the Egyptians. He's bought by Potiphar. He's brought into Potiphar's house. He's lifted up by the Lord. He begins to be the head servant over everything in the home, in Potiphar's home. But as Potiphar goes, you know the story. His wife was trying to seduce him, and he comes home, and his wife says, this young man tried to seduce me, and he ends up spending years in prison. And he loves God. He loves the Lord. And it's not new. He had the Holy Spirit on him, but it did, the Spirit of God. We're not talking New Testament where we can get baptized in the Holy Ghost. The power of God is there. He loved God, and he trusted God and maintained his integrity through all that time. I'm sure that he went through difficulties. I'm sure that he went through questions. I'm sure that he had issues and problems and things that he thought about and wondered about and cried out to God. I'm sure that he cried out to the Lord, Lord, have mercy. I can't do this, God. I believe, but help my unbelief. During those times, I know that the peace of God would come and the Spirit of God would come and minister to his spirit. God's grace would hold him close. And in his case, we know the great victory that God wrought, how God turned that all around. That whole time, he maintained his integrity and his walk with God. You can go through difficult times and still trust the Lord. Look at all that Paul the Apostle experienced. All the lies and accusations, the shipwrecks, the imprisonments, wrongfully imprisoned, persecuted by so many, betrayal, beatings with many stripes, attempted murder. Didn't make his life easy. I'm surprised today, Christians, not just new Christians, but Christians that have been saved a long time and something comes up and an issue comes up or a problem or many problems come up. And we're ready to throw the towel in. And upset and resentful and upset with God and quit serving God, quit going to church, quit reading his word, quit praying. All we have to do is look at the word of God and see all the examples through the word cover to cover. Philippians, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 8:28, again, all things work together for good. If you know Jesus, you can believe that he's at work in your life. He's at work in your life. The Lord doesn't leave. The Bible says his eye's on the sparrow. He sees when the sparrow falls to the earth. When a sparrow, a little bird, falls to the ground, and he says, and yet you are worth much more than many sparrows. He's at work in your life. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are tonight. It doesn't matter what the situations of life have brought. It doesn't matter the struggles and the problems. I know that they're there. I go through them as well. We go through many things and times where we just have to cry out to God and we cry out to him and ask him and ask the Lord to help us and to be there. And no matter what the outcome, no matter what the outcome may be, it's not our will that's done. What we need is God's will to be done. No matter what it is, we need God's will to be done. It's God's will, not our will, that matters. The outcome of any circumstance. And many times he does move and help us and deliver us in so many ways. But it's his outcome that matters. There's no fear in following the Lord. Jesus prayed, Father, I pray let this cup pass from me. Why would we think with all the examples we have that we're not going to go through any difficulties and that life should just be just as smooth as glass and everything just coming up roses? Why in the world would we have that idea? Or where does that come from? Because it doesn't come from God's word. But what does come from God's word is that he is right there with you. He is right there with you in it all. no matter what it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what kind of a struggle it is, no matter how young you are in the Lord or how old you are in the Lord, if you're going through it, you can know that he's at work. I heard in a sermon, I believe it was by Pastor Jones, he said, it's not what you're doing, but it's God that's doing something. It's not who you are, it's not what you're doing, but it's God that's doing something. We don't always understand what he's doing, but he's doing something. He's doing something in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We can trust God with our lives. If we love him, we can rest assured that his plans and purposes shall prevail in our lives, whatever they may be. It's not always a good outcome. I think the apostles, I think every one of the apostles were martyred except one. Everyone. Men of God that stood by the stuff, that stood for God with all their life and all their heart, gave their life for this gospel. And every one of them were martyred. What matters is whatever his will is, whatever God's will is. Hallelujah. If we live for him. You know, God gave me that prayer. I would come to the altar, and the Holy Spirit gave me a prayer. And I'd pray for people, and I'd pray this prayer. Lord, the plans and purposes of the Lord shall prevail in this life. If you go on, continue. I mean, you may battle. You may go through some struggles. But if you'll just keep with Jesus. Stay with the Lord. Get close to the Lord. Get close to Jesus. Pray. Pray. Read the Word of God. Get with Christians. Take time out of this busy life that we live in and put the Lord first and check your prior. If you'll stay with him, you can't lose. You cannot lose. He used to say, you can't lose with the stuff we use. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost. Now, I know that these men and these apostles lived with joy and the peace of God right up to the end when they stepped into glory on the other side. I know that. No matter how hard or how difficult, know tonight that he loves you and he makes ready and equips all that he calls. If you're saved tonight, you can go through anything. You can go through anything. I know there are some things that are really difficult, and I haven't had to go through some things that some people have been through. But I know in what I've been through, some of the things have been very difficult and very hard. But the Lord's been right there with me. And he'll be right there with you. And tonight, if you're going through it, he knows about it. He knows all about it. And he is right there with you. He's with you. And his plans and purposes will prevail in your life, whatever they may be. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. While our heads are bowed for just a moment, thank you, Lord.